It is indeed a great blessing to be with you. I was singing this morning the great hymn of the resurrection, He Lives, right? We serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. What a good word that is when we think about death and decay and destruction all around us, to know that Jesus lives and one day all will be restored. You know, there are several things I want to share today. I thought maybe what I would do in terms of an update on Union. Todd shared about this, Bob Lupton coming in a couple of weeks. There are literally hundreds of activities and events that happen at Union. There are even more that we do in partnership with churches and faith-based organizations in the community. There are tons of things that I could go over in terms of things that are happening. But what I thought I'd do is share just sort of a glimpse of a few things from my own experience and life as president, so you can get a little glimpse into some things that are happening at Union. And then certainly want to have plenty of time for question and answer to hear the things that are on your heart or answer questions that you might have the president. I know we have, I hope you feel that you have access to me at any time, but I know there are other times when we're in a room together and we can ask questions and seek information together. So I want to make sure we have plenty of time for that. So anyway, I'm going to share a few things in my own life. Sort of this is what the life of the president is like. Some days, the things that are involved there, so you can get a sense of the things that are happening at Union. And then engage your questions and engage you in conversation. You know, it was February 10th, 2014 that the board selected me as the 16th president of Union. And what I feel most deeply and what I feel most strongly is a profound sense of gratitude, incredibly blessed. So thankful for what has transpired over this last 14 months, from February 10th to April 7th. It has been amazing and wonderful and incredible. And I just have such a profound sense of thanks. A profound sense of thanks, of course, to the Lord for leading us to Union, for all that He has done, for you, for the ways that you have embraced us as sort of this time has passed. You know, one of the things that's interesting to Susie and to me is that people will say, "So are you getting settled?" It's like, oh goodness, it feels like we've lived here 3 or 4 years already. And the reason it feels like we've lived here 3 or 4 years is because of the ways that you have embraced us, the way that the Union community has embraced us, the way that people in Jackson have embraced us. We feel so incredibly integrated here and so much a part of all that's happening here. And again, we just have such a profound sense of gratitude. I was talking to a friend from East Texas Baptist University. By the way, they are naming their new president today. So if you would just say a word of prayer for them as they go through that important day on their campus. I think they actually vote about 1 o'clock this afternoon, but they're in that process now. So we rejoice with them anyway. This dear friend, sweet lady, called me and she said, "When are you coming back to Texas?" And I said, "I don't know." And it's strange because, you know, you all know about me, know that I didn't live anywhere but Texas until June 1st last year when we moved to Tennessee. And we haven't been back to Texas since last October, and we don't know when we'll be back because we feel so much apart here. And even as people asked us over the Christmas holidays, "Are you going home to Texas?" It's like, no, this is home. And again, just a profound sense of gratitude for all that has been and all that will be. And again, I want you to know how grateful we are for you individually and collectively for loving us and embracing us the way you have. You also have heard me say repeatedly, our prayer, our theme verse, our focus for the year is Psalm 90, verse 17, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. This is my prayer each morning. It's my prayer for me that the Lord would establish the work of my hands. It's my prayer for all of us at Union that He would establish our work, that we would be faithful unto Him. It is again just a profound sense of responsibility and stewardship that I feel serving in the role as president of Union University. So here's a few things. Todd mentioned that we were in Honduras last week. And, you know, as sunburned as I got, sorry, I was sitting in front of Justin and Lee, and I'm sure the back of my head is peeling like crazy, so I apologize for the way it looks, but being in Honduras, serving there with a group of students at Orphanage Emmanuel, an orphanage that's 25 years old, and the fact that we went last week, it was the 16th year of Union sending a group down to Orphanage Emmanuel to serve there. We flew back on the plane. There was a young man named Alexander. I asked him how long he had been at Orphanage Emmanuel. He's 22 years old. He said, "I was born at Orphanage Emmanuel." And he was flying. He's speaking this week at Sevier Heights Baptist Church, giving his testimony and sharing what's happening at Orphanage Emmanuel. How vast the kingdom is and how instantly God says, "I'm with you. Can't you see it? Can't you tell?" We're serving there, and there are 500 children at Orphanage Emmanuel, birth to about 22 years of age. They can leave at 18, but the orphanage lets people stay as long as they want to stay because it's so difficult outside the walls of the orphanage. I'm doing things that I don't typically do. Digging up sweet potatoes in the farm, scaling tilapia from their fish tanks that they've grown. I asked the student, one of the students was chopping the heads off, cutting the heads off would be more accurate, with a dull knife. And I said, "You look tired. You want me to take your place?" He said, "Sure, Dr. Dubb." So I went over about 5 minutes later. I was like, "You want to trade back?" He's like, "Sure, Dr. Dubb." Doing stuff like that, and going in the afternoon to watch these young boys play wiffle ball. And we have a daughter, never had a son to go watch Little League games with or participate with. But what a joy to show up there and for them to recognize and to wave from first base or the batter's box. And afterward to take them to the little tienda there and get them chips and a drink to celebrate their victory. What a blessing to be a part of what I describe as simple love, right? And to do that with these students. And we think, you know, how blessed we are that our students, the experience they've had, and yet Susie and I, as we were processing, she said, "You know, I was so burdened by Casey's story." And I said, "Well, what was Casey's story?" And she said her mother abandoned her and her father, took her younger sister and left, said that she didn't want Casey, but she wanted the younger sister. Here we were serving at an orphanage with children whose parents have neglected or abused or abandoned them. And here's a young woman at Union, so thoughtful, so bright, so loving, so Christ-centered, who has had essentially the same experience and is right next to me. So it's a blessing to serve. As Todd mentioned, we have go trips going all over the place. That's Union, right? That's Union, going, spreading the love of Christ, evangelizing, serving, being the hands and feet of Christ. This morning, I read in the mail, a letter from the Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights. Yeah. There are different things that I deal with, you know. Religious liberty is a key issue for us. And I want you to know why this is so important for us and what we're doing about it. You all know last week we were away, but you were reading in the newspapers and seeing on TV what was happening in Indiana and Arkansas regarding religious freedom. This is going to be the great challenge for us, for the church. It is going to be a great challenge, and we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to defend our religious liberty. There are coming pressures in this issue related to higher education, particularly related to the federal funding of higher education. And I've shared with you, some of you have heard me say this before, on my better days, I think that the federal government took over the student loan program in 2010 so that all the profits could go back into the program, right? That more people could be helped, more people could go to higher education because there wouldn't be banks making the profits would be plowed back into the program. Those are on my better days. On my worst days, I think they did that to control us. I'm having more worse days than better days recently. And unions got to be prepared, and we're thinking now, what would we do if the government said you cannot have students using federal loan programs if you don't endorse same-sex marriage, for example? We've made the decision we're not going to endorse that. That would mean giving up all of those federal dollars. What would that look like for union? Well, you know, one of the things that I hope it looks like is that the churches will say, no, we love union. We love what union stands for. We're going to support union in ways that we haven't heretofore done. But it also means figuring out how could we create a student loan system for Christian colleges? How could we partner with other entities to create people who have wealth to use their wealth to do the same thing that the government's doing for our students, but just do it without the government? These are the kind of things we're thinking about. One of the things that we did in January to try to shore up some of our defenses was to request an exemption to 13 provisions of the Title IX law. Title IX, most of you are familiar with it, says that there will be no discrimination on the basis of gender in the provision of educational programs and services. And generally what that means is, you know, an expansion of opportunities for girls and women in athletics. That's really sort of what most of us know about Title IX. But there are lots of now provisions related to Title IX that have to do with transgendered status and homosexual status and provision of, for example, in our residence halls of there's coming a day where they're going to say you have to provide people who say, I'm not sure what gender I am, a place to stay, or transgendered bathrooms, all this kind of mess. Anyway, we asked for an exemption. We went ahead and asked for an exemption to say that, look, because of our religious beliefs, we want to be exempted from these 13 provisions of the law. And praise God, today we got a letter granting our exemption to those things. So again, doing everything we can to shore up our position, to be clear about who we are and about how we're pursuing things. I got an email when I was in Honduras, deeply troubling to me, but again, I just want you to understand sort of some of the issues that we deal with sort of on a global level as well as a specific level, that the University of Notre Dame, the flagship Catholic institution, has decided to offer same-sex benefits for partners. And that totally breaks my heart. And I just want to be really clear with you all. There are going to be some institutions who say they're evangelical who will make the same decision soon. Union will not make that decision. Union will not go that way. And we're trying to figure out how we can be yoked with people who have similar beliefs to us, and so that we can stand together. But we really desperately need the churches to stand with us when those moments come, and to be prepared to do so. These issues are really important for us. And then I go to a meeting, a construction meeting, building the new library. Certainly you see it, right? It's obvious. That's something that's great that's happening on campus. 53,616 square feet. We're going to dedicate it on November 6th. We'd like to invite all of you to come 2:00 that afternoon. Come and dedicate that. We've been working on that clearly this year. We started July 1st and will be completed hopefully by the end of October, but we're going to dedicate it one way or the other on November 6th. And, you know, this to me represents it represents the continued growth of union. It represents the continued development of union. It gives us an increased opportunity at union. Not just because of its physical symbol, but because it does represent progress. And as people drive by on the bypass every day, as people come to visit us, as you see it, you know that good things are happening at Union because you can see a physical manifestation of that going up. Our hope is not in buildings. Our hope is in the Lord. But they are good signs when we have opportunities like this to build something that is going to honor Christ and be useful for our community. And I pray that it will be useful for you all as well. a lot of people, it was even with someone yesterday that said, you know, I don't understand why y'all are building a library when books are going away. I was like, books are going away? Where did you get that idea? Books are not going away. The written word is important, right? The fact is that more books were published in 2014 than any other year on record. Literally books that you hold in your hand. Now, we're not buying them all because we don't have room for them all. But and certainly this space will be different than sort of the typical library. All the books will be on the second floor, and there'll be lots of spaces for group study and individual study. There'll be lots of technology. Of course, a lot of information is available electronically, but there's something about the written word on paper and feeling that in our hands and opening a book and reading it. And anyway, all the books will be on the second floor, and they'll be in these, what I call sort of a book retrieval system. You know, it's all these automated shelves, so all the books are compacted in space, and you just punch the buttons where you want to go, and it opens, and you go get your book and go on. But anyway, it'll be a beautiful facility for students to study and learn and grow, and I pray will be very useful for you all as well. Our students are incredibly gifted in lots of ways. Our debate team just won the national championship in the International Public Debate Association, which is great. It's the second year they've won it in a row, and phenomenal. They won both the regular season and the championship tournament, which is awesome. And I'd love to make a joke about tennis. I mean, about Kentucky at this point, but I don't know who's a fan, so my wife would not be appreciative of that either. But anyway, getting to celebrate students who are achieving at the highest levels and doing those things, or on the athletic field, NCAA. This is our first year to compete in the NCAA Division II. Maybe you, like some others in our community, said, "Hey, is this going to be good for us?" I know the NAIA is kind of the competition is not what we're used to or not as good as we are, and we were just dominating that. So is the NCAA the place to go? We have achieved there. We won a cross-country championship in the fall. In fact, the first Gulf South championship offered, Union won it. We won the women's basketball championship, and then the women went on to get to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA Division II National Championship Tournament. The men were in the tournament. You know that fewer than 5% of the universities in the NCAA have both a men's and a women's team in the NCAA tournament. We did it in our first year of NCAA competition. That's awesome. That's powerful. And it's a platform to share the gospel. The team that we ended up losing to in the Sweet 16, a lot of the schools that we're with are secular schools, and that's one of the reasons why we love to host, because we can do our thing in our gym and be a witness. Of course, we can be that away, but we can be it here as well. And so our process is that when people come, we tell them that our team gathers at center court after the game to pray together, and that they're welcome to come. Anyway, the coach of the opposing team at Nova Southeastern is the team, complained to the NCAA that we were having this prayer at the circle. And we said, look, hey, it's optional. We've said it's optional. Nobody's required to come. If they want to come, they can come. If they don't, they don't. When they beat us, our students gathered, as they always do, right there at the center court. The coach of Nova Southeastern walked off. The players walk to the circle. Isn't that awesome? It's a platform for sharing the gospel. And that's helpful. That's a good platform. It's a good way to do it. And so we're grateful to do that. We've started a couple of new programs this year. I'm glad Max Walker's here. One of the programs we're starting this year is the Union Edge program. Union Edge stands for Employment Skills, Daily Living, Godly Focus, and Educational Enrichment. Union Edge. Union Edge is for young people who have intellectual or developmental disabilities, but who are really capable young people, but aren't going to go through a degree program. So it's a certificate program. It's a two-year certificate program where these young people learn to live and function on their own, learn to hold down a job, learn to live independently. At the end of this, they'll be able to live independently, to serve. You may know people who are interested in this. In fact, I first kind of was confronted about this by Anne, Max's wife, and she stopped me at a Union Auxiliary meeting. She said, "Have you heard about this Think College?" I said, "No, I have no idea what you're talking about." She says, "Well, you need to learn about it." So I called a meeting, and we talked about it, and we all felt like that the Lord was saying this is appropriate for Union's mission. It's a small program. We'll admit 8 students per year. It's a 2-year program, so we'll ultimately have 16 students in the program. But what a blessing to be able to work with these beautiful young people and help them to grow and develop into the men and women God intends them to become, and let them serve both their communities and their churches in an intimate way because of their experience at Union. And it was a huge blessing that Seth, Max and Ann's grandson, was the first student admitted into that program this fall. So we've got 3 admitted, and we think we've got the rest of the 8 slots pretty much lined out. But anyway, that's going to be an exciting program. Again, a small program, but something that's really good for Union. We have other programs like our nursing program. You know, our nursing program is really well known. About 750 of our 4,000 students are in our nursing program. Isn't that wild? Huge program. We're offering this fall, for the first time, a doctor of nursing practice in psychiatry. It's a huge need for mental health professionals. And to be able to train those nurse practitioners from a Christian worldview, and for them to be out then serving in their communities, such an incredible blessing for us. There are leadership transitions anytime there's new leadership. Todd mentioned us gathering on Tuesday mornings for our executive council. I think most of you know now that I've invited Bob Agee to come on as our VP for Institutional Advancement. He's been with us for a couple months now. I'm so thankful. I know he's a name and a person who's well known to West Tennessee pastors and West Tennessee churches and folks at Union. I'm really thankful for his leadership and service there. We also have a couple of positions that are still open. I think probably the key one for you all to think about and pray about is our dean for the School of Theology and Missions. Jim Patterson's been serving as an interim or acting dean for the last couple of years. We're really thankful for his leadership. But it's time for us to have permanent leadership in the School of Theology and Missions. So that process is ongoing. We're having our finalists in, you know, really seeking who the Lord would have for us in that position. Leadership positions are critical for the institution, so I just would invite you to pray for that. We have one other dean position open, and that's our dean of nursing. That's an active search that we're continuing to process through as well. I think we'll have School of Theology and Missions hopefully wrapped up before the end of this academic year. There are also opportunities to love our community and to provide pastoral care, just as you do day in, day out, week in, week out. Mentioned that 2 weeks ago today, Keith Absher, our dean of the McAfee School of Business Administration, died suddenly, unexpectedly. And, you know, as president, just like you as pastor, you know, it's so important to be present with people and to love people and to share in that with them. A death like that affects so many people at a place like Union, and what a privilege it is to walk through life with people who love the Lord. A couple weeks before that, one of our students his father committed suicide, and you know what a terrible thing for that to happen to him during his college years. But again, what a privilege for me to counsel with him, to seek truth with him, to love him in ways that affirm both him and the truth of Scripture and the permanence of our Heavenly Father. And we're always recruiting students. The VZs, we're trying to get the VZs here. Are we making any progress? A little bit, okay. I get a chance to visit with students. You know, we love, you send students to Union. We have great students always looking for more. we had our Scholars Weekend earlier in February, and the Scholars Weekend is a chance for us to invite really top students who score at least a 29 on the ACT, so the really bright students. They're competing for scholarship dollars, the top scholarship dollars. And in that, there's what's called the Founders Award, and the Founders Award is given to one student. We had about 165 students compete this year at Scholars Weekend, participate in Scholars Weekend, and one student is selected, and that student gets full tuition, fees, room, and board. So basically, everything's covered for them. And the student who won that award this year is a young woman named Lindsay Jean Ledford. Lindsay Jean Ledford. She's from Bartlett Baptist in Bartlett, and just an incredible young woman. She leads in her youth choir, leads worship, is involved in many ministry things. She came and she competed, and it was 2 weeks after her mother died that she was at Scholars Weekend, sharing about herself, sharing about how much she wanted to be at Union. And one of the reasons she wanted to be at Union was that her mom, Noma Jean Ledford, graduated from Union. What a testimony of this institution, that those who graduate from here want their sons and daughters to come here. And what a blessing it is as president to see that and to know of that tradition, know of that commitment. And what an incredible, awesome honor it is as president to call a young woman and say, Lindsay, I've got some really good news. I got some really good news. You are coming to Union. So it is, again, just with a profound sense of gratitude from beginning to end, from best to ugh, all the stuff that we deal with, all the stuff that goes on, all of it, though, is wonderful and has pointed toward our mission, which is to provide Christ-centered education that promotes excellence in character development and service to church and society.